Welcome to Obuleti Oromo Women's Network monthly webinar and podcast. Our conversations are based on topics and issues that are prevalent in the Oromo community, especially pertaining to women. The podcasts are based on recorded monthly webinars led by leaders in our community. These podcasts are meant to attend to the education component of Obuleti's mission. If you're interested in learning more, please contact us via our website, email, and or social media networks. Webinar resources can be found on our website at obuleti.org/webinars.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out of your day for tuning in to today's webinar episode on Oromo Women in Business. I want to thank Obuleti Group for allowing me to speak with all you guys all today. So my name is Lami. I'm from Toronto, Canada, home of the 2019 Toronto Raptors champions, you know, hashtag We the North. Just want to slide that in there. So I am also a founder and currently overseer of the Oromo business, or what I like to call the Oromo brand, Oromo Wear. So I guess in today's webinar episode, I will try to offer you guys insight into the inspiration, the challenges, the triumphs into this business called Oromo Wear. And this is in hopes that you guys can possibly learn through my journey in creating Oromo Wear. So how I will try to structure this is try to give a brief info on myself to get to know me. What is Oromo Wear? The inspiration behind it, so how it was created, how I'm continuously building on the brand, all, like I said, the triumphs and challenges, and try to give you guys some tips on creating any, if you are looking forward to creating any online businesses. And then at the end, I will try to open it up for any questions and I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. So again, a little brief info on myself. I was born and raised here in Toronto, Canada. And aside from Drake, Toronto is probably one of the most multicultural capitals of the world. So in a city like Toronto, Canada, aside from being Canadian, your identity is also highly regarded and highly accepted. Canada is a land of immigrants, like to say. And in Toronto, over here, everybody asks where you are, where you're from. And everybody practices and proudly practices their culture alongside of being Canadian. So I guess in saying that, I guess growing up, I had the blessings of learning where I was from. My dad always used to sit us as kids and sit us down and tell us about his history, his story, coming from this beautiful land called Oromia. So in saying that, I became super proud to be from Toronto and super proud to be Oromo. So as mentioned, I am from Toronto. So I went a little bit of my education history. I went to Ryerson University. I graduated recently and I graduated with a Bachelor of Commerce in Business Technology Management. Right now I work kind of in the tech company called SoftChoice. So personally, I look to accomplish two things in life: to further my career or advance myself, like my father would like to tell me. However, I always have a passion for helping people and contributing to my community and my people. And I guess Oromo Wear kind of allowed me to fulfill that. So another tip, I guess, my first tip of creating a business: every business always usually starts by solving a problem. And it's saying that, we are going to flash back to 2016, Toronto. ESPANA was held here in Toronto. And for those of you guys who don't know, ESPANA is Ethiopian soccer tournament. It was held in Toronto back in 2016. And at the time, I was in my fourth year of university. I was working a part-time job in downtown Toronto. And there was, I guess, a lot of Ethiopians on the streets, a lot of Ethiopian youth on the streets. And they would be out and about with their Ethiopian jerseys, the colors, the Ethiopian soccer jerseys, the baseball jerseys. And I would constantly see that going around. And I'm like, kind of envious, I guess, towards them because they were representing something and they were proudly wearing something on the chest that they can be proud of. Sorry, that's kind of a lot of background noise. But I couldn't proudly, for myself personally, I couldn't proudly wear those colors because of, I guess, the history with our people. So I said at that time, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk with my friend. I'm like, hey, I'm going to make myself a jersey, a baseball jersey. And I said, okay. I talked with my friends. They pointed me in the direction of this print shop. And I made a jersey that I think it said, it was a black jersey, I remember. It was a baseball jersey that had like Oromia and had like 73, said Oromia at the back of it. And I don't know why I took photos with my friend's photographer. He took photos of me and I posted it alongside with my friends. They posted the photo as well, reposted it. And I guess I would like to say it went Oromo viral at the time. Like I didn't have Twitter, but a lot of people were hitting my friends up and myself saying, hey, we want that. Because at that time, like I said, businesses come out of a need, a want to fulfill that. And a lot of people at that time, there was nothing really like that. And they're like, I want that. Where can we get it? And then my friends were like, hey, let me, you have something, you need to get on it. So I was like, okay. And this was kind of like peaking the summer. Then Oswana 2016 happened. I couldn't build the business faster. I guess all my friends had fun. They all went to Minnesota at the time at Aswana. They all had fun at Aswana. While they were all having fun, I was back in Toronto trying to figure out this thing that I had on my hands. And I'm like, okay, how can I create something for my people? I'm like, okay, obviously the questions of where can I get this were coming from. Hell, they were coming from the States. They were coming from Australia. And I'm like, okay, I need to create an online business. So that's when I'm like, okay, sat down and created OromoWear. And I sat down and I did a lot of research into creating how to create an online business, how to create a website, how to create a brand. And at that time I was taking, sorry, I should say this is my third year because yes, it was my third year. So yeah, it was my third year going into my fourth year of university. So at that time I was taking, coincidentally, I was taking a e-commerce class. So kind of having that was kind of helpful and try to base it off of that, doing a lot of research. So another tip I would give anybody who is starting off a business is to do your research, understand the market that you are going into, know who your target audience is and understand them. It was easy for me because I am Oromo and I am a diaspora, I am a youth. I know kind of gauging off of social media, I can gauge what kind of people, things our diaspora is into and what I'm into. So understanding your target market segment, like understanding and identifying what your demographic that you're targeting wants. So in saying that, I sat down and I created a business plan. It was cool because, again, it was something that I already kind of learned. And another tip would be use your skill set and your passion. So at that time, I was very passionate into creating something for my people. And my skill set came from school. Whatever I learned in class, I was using it. So fast forward to, I guess it was December of that year, 2016. The website was still in the works, but the products, I started creating the products. So a lot of my time in the summer came from going in and figuring out, okay, what shall I do? I kind of nipped the butt of the idea of the jersey and said, okay, hey, I have a lot, like, so I knew a lot of Eritreans, and I don't know if you guys know, a lot of the Eritreans, they have this necklace. It's a wooden necklace that they always wear, and it's the map. And I thought it was really dope that they can always carry that with them. So I'm going to kind of backtrack into understanding what OromoWear is. So after that summer, creating that business plan, I had to first create this business plan to understand what am I creating, you know? And so I came up with this title that Oromo Wear would be an everyday clothing and accessory line for the Oromo diaspora. So this business would encourage the diaspora to become the voice of the voiceless and provide a form of expression, and it's allowing each of our customers to become an ambassador for our people while wearing a design. So that was the key. How can we become ambassadors for our people? And that's what I wanted Oromo Wear essentially to be, is for us to be ambassadors for our people. As diaspora, I feel like our duty is to represent people, our people back home. And at that time, I always used to say they were the voiceless. They needed a voice. And we were their voice. We have the rights here, and we can be their voice for back home. And I wanted Oromo Wear somehow to become that. So after creating that identity of what Oromo Wear will become, I said, okay, so knowing this plan that I had set in place of what Oromo Wear will be, how can I build products around that statement, our business plan? So I said, okay, like going back to the example of the Eritreans always having this wooden necklace, I would always see them wear up the map. I said, hey, that's a really dope idea for us. We should have a map necklace. And I thought it was perfect because that product will do exactly what I set out Oromo Wear to be. You wear that map necklace, you will get questions. What is that funny little shape on your neck? And it will create conversation. And then while that conversation happens, you're doing the purpose of what Oromo Wear intended to be. You are being ambassadors. You're going to explain to somebody, hey, your coworker, your friend, a stranger on the street, saying like, hey, I think your necklace is pretty dope. Like, what is that? And then you're like, let me tell you, this is Oromia, and this is who the Oromo people are. And that is exactly what I set out Oromo Wear to be. So again, building a product around what I wanted the plan to be for Oromo Wear. So cool, I created it. I said, okay, the first thing I was gonna do is create that necklace. And this is the challenge, I guess, of starting a business. I said, okay, I put the website on hold and it started focusing more on the product. I said, hey, I'm gonna create this necklace, that's a map necklace, and I'm gonna search and do my research all across the World Wide Web and try to figure out a vendor, and then B, what quality I wanted for it, the design, all of that. So in saying that, I created this necklace, and I said, okay, I shopped around a whole bunch of vendors, and another tip I'm gonna actually kind of throw into there is that starting a business, it has nothing to do with being the smartest, all right? It's more about believing in yourself, taking risks, and being consistently hardworking. And I'm gonna go back to taking risks. At that time, again, like I said, I was in my third year, going to my fourth year. I was currently taking loans out for school, had a part-time job to make ends meet. I had a little bit of savings. I started this business with all the savings that I had. I don't think my dad would be fairly happy with me if he knew. I invested a lot of my money at the time to create this. I didn't ask for anybody, no handouts. Like, I said, okay, like, this is something I believe in. I'm going to take a risk. I invested in myself. I found that this money, I'm going to invest this into this passion project of mine. It's investing into myself. It's my business. I wanted to invest into it. I said, okay, hey, I'm not going to go and ask, I guess, like my dad for money or my friends. I was like, hey, I'm going to do this on myself. Hell, my dad, I don't think my family kind of knew about Oromo Wear until it kind of grew. So I took a risk and invested in this vendor that I found that I thought would be potentially good. And I got the product a month later. And the challenge was, it was a complete mess. I got the product. I was so excited. I opened it. I ripped it open. And here lied a gold necklace with a silver chain. And I was like, what? I put in how much X dollar amount into this? And I'm like, this is not right. And I was so frustrated because I felt like I failed. I was like, wow, I invested all of this. I don't have the money to like fix this problem and order a whole batch of new necklaces. Like, I can't, like, this, especially starting off I was like, this is not the greatest start. But again, an advice to never give up, and I found a solution to it. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to Chinatown. And mind you, I ordered 200 necklaces. I don't even remember. It was a lot. And all of them were wrong. So I went to Chinatown. I bought chains. I bought these little chain holders and everything. And I bought tools to remake about 100 necklaces by my own hand. True story. So I was like, I'm going to redo all of this by myself. And I literally made the necklaces on my own, because I'm like, I can't afford to buy a bunch new, but I'm going to buy the different chains, the gold chains. Wow. And then exactly. So I was like, you know, I did all of that and I started, and I'm like, you know what? I have to do it because I'm not giving up on this. I'm not going to give up on it. Not because this one little mistake was happening and then I'm just going to give up on it. Going back to the challenge, my first challenge of Aroma Wear was, again, the product not being of the quality I wanted, and it was very frustrating. It hurt the ego, it hurt like the self-esteem, and it hurt the motivation to like continue on. But then I said, like, hey, there's a bigger picture, find a solution and keep moving on. And that's what I did. Then before the website, like I said, I put the website on hold. There was a cultural night that was going to happen in Toronto in December, I believe. And that was going to be the first time. And we decided we're going to have a culture show and we're going to showcase Aroma Wear for the first time. And that is where we showcased the necklace and the long sleeve Bilisuma black shirt that everybody, I guess, knows of. And it was very, very, I guess that was a triumph of the business. It was very heartwarming to see people from Toronto, a place that you're from, take interest into it and say like, hey, this is like to say, okay, good job. The youth, what you're doing is very, very good. And I said, okay, hey, like this is something I can take abroad. So I'm like, okay, it worked out. I saw that there's a market for it. It did well at the Oromo night in Toronto. I'm like, okay, how can I move this forward? Let's go back to the drawing board about the website. So again, the website, I'm not a web designer in any capacity. And for those of you guys who are interested in starting an online businesses, there are outlets that you guys can use that if you're not a web designer. You can use something called Shopify. That is a online website, especially for e-commerce, people who are selling online. It's an easy website that gives you templates to use and to start a business. There you could set up your anything. You could set it, like, it'll give you a template that you can use and play around with. You don't have to start from scratch. It's an easy template that you guys can use. You can also set up PayPal or Stripe or anything to take payments out of. That's what I'm saying. There's tools out there for you that you don't need to be an expert in, say, web design. Like I said, I per se didn't use Shopify, but like I looked around and did my research. Keyword, guys, if you ever want to start a business, do your research. There is, like my dad always used to say, Google is your friend. Use it, right? Like, use it. You guys have more answers. Like he always says, you guys have more answers than we ever did. Do your research. There's always going to be an answer for everything. So we went back to the drawing board and started using the website, started creating the website, and started promoting it. And I would like to say, I think Oromos Connect had a lot to do with it. We started the business at the time that Oromos Connect was really at the peak, I guess I would say. It was an amazing platform for us to use. So we said that we're going to start leveraging a strong social media network to reach a strong global market for the Oromo community to retail our products to. So in saying that, we leverage as a diaspora, like someone who's born here, I'm going to actually throw in another thing. So, I guess like a tip would be look abroad for inspiration, right? Yeah, meaning a lot of business, like you could take a lot of tips from other people. Like I look a lot, like what I did for research and what I did for inspiration and to look is to bring things like what people already have in other communities for Oromos. It was pretty simple, like looking at different websites or different I forget it was called, okay, for the Somali, like I know the Somalis, they had a My252, if I'm not mistaken, they had their own website where it's similar, kind of, it's like kind of culturally based clothing. So they had like the Somalia flag on their jersey, and it's like bringing that and then curating it to make it like an Oromo brand. So like I said, you can always take inspiration from somewhere else, and that's what I, like I like I mentioned, we try to leverage a strong social media network. That's the only way we knew how to promote Oromo Wear. And at the time, we used Instagram, we used Twitter, and we leveraged, I guess, at that time where all the eyes were on for Oromos were tuning in was Oromos Connect. So we asked to host that day and a couple times, actually, to try to promote it. And from there, I guess we built a very strong social media following and started leveraging our own social media to start promoting our own stuff, too. It really take it in. We started in 2016. And at that time, also what was going on back home, it was the height of like the hashtag Oromo protest movement. Everybody had a sort of like nationalism of being like Oromo and being proud to be Oromo. It was a perfect timing. Like it was needed at that moment. And a lot of Oromos wanted something to like proudly wear and to say, hey, I'm Oromo, look what's going on back home, you know? And I guess the timing of it was perfect as well. Yeah. So again, we leveraged social media as a competitive edge. So I guess for us, the competitive edge that we also meant we stated was Oromo Wear will comprise of like a catalog of quality designs and materials. We learned from our mistakes, or I learned from my mistakes of the catastrophe of the first product that I ordered with the mismatch of colors and whatnot. But what we try to take pride on, how we said we're going to differentiate ourselves, was to have that quality of products, right? To establish our partnerships with like manufacturers that will provide like superior quality material, right? Clothing and accessories. So a lot of our clothing also comes from like Canada. And doing this will allow Oromo Wear to advance in customer satisfaction. Okay, so at the time that I start, like I left university, I kind of went into a space that was like my job. I started a startup. The startup had a lot to do with helping, like it was a online app that helped e-commerce business. And in saying that, I learned a lot. I learned that a lot of these e-commerce businesses, they were continuously growing because they try to advance their customer satisfaction. Without customer satisfaction, you will decline. And I always said, I never want to have an Oromo person come back to us and say, hey, this is not good. Like, I don't want that. So that's why I was like, hey, we are, even if it's just a little bit more expensive, we're going to try to make the best quality products and try to advance ourselves in that aspect. That was going to be our competitive. So, and then our mission at that time was to offer that premium Oromo clothing and accessory at the best price, and hopefully to continue to grow and to be that leader in Oromo everyday fashion. So yeah, going back to my story, we finally opened shop online, and this is another one of the Oromo Wear triumph. Was the first order actually was from Australia, which was pretty dope. From there, we knew that the website was a success. That was very, very, very celebrated. So we knew that the website is a success and it was up and running, and now we were open for business. And it's crazy because now we opened, I guess, a a space for Oromo diasporas, because I felt like at that time there wasn't anything for us, meaning the kids who were born here, having something for us, you know, and opening the shop and having it online is what we do. We do online shopping all the time, especially kids who are born here. That's all we do. We do online shopping. So we curated it for the diaspora. So for us, it was very like heartwarming to see that, you know, they're doing online shopping, but for the culture, you know, it's pretty cool. So, and I guess in saying that, I want to open it up if anybody has any comments or questions at this moment in time.
So I had a question. What's been the hardest part of having your own business?
Oh, that would be juggling everything. So as it stands right now, I run Oromoware all on my own, one person. And it's been really, really tough. So at the time in school, you guys would never believe it. So at the time in my last year, I started Oromoware. I was vice president of the East African Student Association of Ryerson. I had a part-time job. On top of that, I had a full school course load. On top of that, I was doing things within like our own Toronto Oromo community. I was part of two boards, and I was juggling all of that. And that was tough in itself. Then I graduated, got a job, and now I have a full-time job and this business. And it's always hard to keep up. And I think that in itself is the most challenging thing, is juggling all of it, you know? And knowing when to prioritize my own life, meaning my own job, my actual job that makes me my income, and then knowing when to prioritize Oromoware as well. So that I feel like is the most challenging thing right now. So what I try to do is set aside time, like I will have like Wednesdays and Saturdays are shipping days, you know, when I would go out and ship. So it won't be like sporadic, and I would organize my life like that. So trying to organize my life and say, okay, obviously I have my 9-to-5 job, go to that, and try to figure out, okay, where I can squeeze in time for Oromoware. So like I said, I have two jobs right now. I have my full-time job and I have Oromoware, and I would finish with my full-time job and then I would go out, figure out Oromoware, but also I have to try to have a life as well too. So it's like that's the most challenging thing, is like juggling all of that. And it's still, like I said, it's like you mentioned, it's like a work in progress still. So trying to figure that out is, I guess, my biggest challenge right now.
Hello, I have a couple of comments. This is Arfase.
Hey.
The first one is, I remember during the, I don't remember the name of the conference, but it was in Atlanta. Yeah. And I took some of the necklaces for Lummi to be sold at the conference, and I think that's when they figured out that there were issues with the necklace. Remember, Lummi? Mm-hmm. So people were complaining about the necklace, and I told her. And what I really appreciated was she wasn't offensive. She said, "Okay, I will solve the issue." You know, so she was just being open to solving problems right away instead of fighting it, acknowledging it. I really appreciated that. And then the second part is, I just wanted to say thank you, because now my son, Oromo, looks at the necklace and says, "That's my name." And he spells it out. So this is an educational tool for him. Like, he learned how to spell his name because he sees it every day. So thank you for that as well.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah.
Aww. That's so cute. Yeah. Like,
know my name.
That's so cute. Aww. I guess I can kind of interject here. So I remember this. So outside of Toronto, the first place to ever, have Oromoware sold was in Atlanta. So I, like Arfase said, like that, there was a conference, I forget what the conference was, but I had a friend that was going out there to the conference, and Arfase was really, really generous to have the necklaces sold out there. And like I said, that was a time of the necklaces. That was a time that I made those necklaces by hand, and it wasn't the greatest quality at all. Actually, it was not the greatest quality. And I took that criticism. There was a lot of comments and criticism, and I took that to the chin, and I said, okay, hey, every business goes through humps and nothing is perfect, you know? So I was like, okay, took that at the back of my head. I was like, okay, now how can we fix it? And that's what I would give a tip to anybody who's starting a business. Like, if someone gives you criticism, if someone tells you, hey, this is not it, this is it, this is it, or gives you suggestions on how to move forward, always consider it. Be open-minded when you are starting a business. Understand, like I say, I run this on my own. And it's very helpful to hear from the people. And I really like when I get those DMs and saying, hey, maybe you should do this or maybe this. Or when I do go to out to vendor at like Asfana or whatever, and I hear like, hey, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that, I always take that in consideration. Like I said, we want to, or I'm aware, we try to pride ourselves on customer satisfaction. Like I said, like that's the way companies grow. And if you are not listening to those criticisms, then you're not going to grow as a company. So yeah, that was my first hump, I guess, to overcome. And it was a wake-up call to fix the quality. Like you said, you were going to have this quality product. You're going to have to keep your word. So that was Atlanta learning experience. Okay. Any other comments or questions at this moment? I guess I can talk. I talk a little bit more of like our strategy. So we try to I don't know how can I say this. So a tip would be, if you are starting a business, my number one tip would be do your research. Like Dame Dash would say, do your Googles. Understand who your target audience is. Understand your competition. From when we started at that time, there was only one other online shop that was selling anything that was Oromo. I believe it was Oromo Shop. Yeah, so that was the only one that was selling at that time. And then when we went to Asfana for the first time in 2017, there was not that much youth. I think I was probably the only, us and like my friends were the only ones selling like amongst youth. And there was another one, what's his name? Waco was selling his Oromo jerseys. Yeah, so that was Asfana 2017. So like we understood like who was the competition and the buying patterns of like the Oromo youth. We try to understand it. It was very helpful to go to things like Asfana, to go to Oromo night, to hear what people sell at vendors for other spots for me, to understand like my competition or the market segment that we were in, demographic. Again, it was easy because I am an Oromo youth, so it was easy to understand that. But it's beautiful now to see. And at that time, I think I was the only Oromo female, like by herself selling. Now, to just leaving Asfana back in Minnesota this year, it was very, very beautiful to see how much the youth has like taken it into their own hand and starting businesses. Now there's a lot of youth that are starting businesses on their own, catered towards like the Oromo diaspora. And it makes me like really, really happy to see that, and how much it's grown from being like one or two to like the youth finally doing stuff. Because at least my dad are the adults in our community says like we are the ones going to be taking over our community. So like we need spaces for people to do business, we need spaces for people to do art, we need people, educators, we need all of these factors for allow for a good ecosystem, like our good community, for people. So it was really I was really happy. Like I remember chatting with my friend and we're like, yo, do you remember 2017, when it was just me and you, and now look at all of this. But, and I also want to say to everybody, support the youth, support your people. Like, I make it a mission to try to go to every booth, every website, and try to buy at least one thing for our people. It encourages, I'm telling you, it encourages somebody to see. Every sale that I get is very encouraging. Every photo that I see online that someone tags is very super encouraging. Like, you may not know, like, even just a repost is, it will help encourage our youth to try to do more. So that's my advice to you guys, to always try to encourage our youth, because I feel like sometimes we feel like we will not support each other. And what I found creating Oromoware is our community is very beautiful, very supportive, and it makes me really, really happy to see that people taking a liking into Oromoware. And for me, I guess it's crazy because when I first started Oromoware, I didn't envision it to evolve the way it has and to sustain itself. Again, I didn't really say I was going to go into it saying I'm going to create a business. It was never like that. It kind of just fell into place where people told me, like, we need this. We need this. This space needs to be fulfilled. And that's where, like I said, that's how businesses usually start. And it just makes me so happy because to see the community and the love for the people and for our culture. And now since it started, I guess my favorite moment for Oromoware would be this summer when it went back home. And it's crazy because Oromoware, my baby, my business went back home before I ever did, which is hilarious. And it was at the Oromo Studies Association conference in Funfine. And every collaboration, every vendor that I'm not there at or I am there at, I would say that people will take interest and be attracted to something that they say is consistent. So going back to one of my tips is, like, when you start a business, you don't have to be the smartest, but it's about believing in yourself, risks, and being consistently hardworking. The reason Oromoware is going to celebrate its third year this October is because consistency. I've seen a lot of Oromo businesses start and fall off and come back alive and stop, and it lasts maybe 2 months, right? We want to be consistent, and I'm going to try to make Oromoware consistent to the best of my abilities. And because of that consistency, the brand has been consistent. A lot of people will gravitate towards that. And because of that, we've been blessed with a lot of opportunities, and especially this opportunity to go back home. And I have seen, it's been now worn on the streets of Oromia. I have seen people back home wearing Oromoware. I will tell you, I've cried when I've seen that. And I think one of the big moments was Faisal Elisa wearing one of the shirts. I remember going to the bathroom and crying of tears of joy because he was one of the biggest inspiration for Oromoware at the time. Because when we started, it was around that movement when he did the Oromo protest sign. Hajalu, Alibera, like, it warms my heart because, again, it's for the people, and it's my passion project. It's not a business. It's a passion for me. And it keeps me busy, and it makes me so happy that I'm able to contribute to the community and for our people. And it's doing what it's meant. I hear stories all the time, which makes me so happy, that people would go out and wear the necklace or the shirt, and people would always ask them, hey, what is that? Like, what's that? And people are going to start talking about it. Like, hey, I just came back from the States right now, and I was wearing the map necklace, and people are like, hey, what's that? I got asked by some random American asking me, like, hey, what is that? And I'm like, gladly, I will tell you what it is. I will, and that's the whole purpose of it. And when people tell me similar stories about that, people always going up to them and asking them questions about what they're wearing on their neck or what they're wearing on their chest. That is the purpose that I intended for Oromo wear. And that to me makes me even more happier than the business itself. So I would always suggest to people, I would try to like conclude it into find your skill set and find your passion and create a business that's something that you are passionate about. And Oromo wear was my passion and it's still my passion, and I will continue to try to push the culture with Oromo wear and be consistently hardworking is what I would give advice to anybody. So yeah, again, that's probably me concluding Oromo wear and my journey. I hope you guys probably learned something from my journey of creating this business and any tips that I probably threw out there.
I guess I just want to make a comment and say that I'm really proud of you, that you literally took all the risk. You risked it all to just like, you know, go through with your plan and your vision. And that's amazing to see like a Oromo woman, you know, go ahead and like do that.
Question?
Yeah. I wanted to say it was interesting that so that you saw how the Ethiopian soccer tournament was full of so much like culture and energy, and like, but because your dad had already instilled in you so much knowledge about your background, like you weren't like many of us, the rest of us who kind of grew up just saying, oh, I'm Ethiopian, and kind of just meshing with that because that was just like the thing to do. It's really common, like a lot of Oromos grew up just telling Americans or people at school like, oh, I'm Ethiopian, and like mm-hmm. don't even think twice about it because it's just so much to explain the Oromo part. But like mm-hmm. so I mean, first of all, like shout out to your dad for instilling that in you mm-hmm. and like shout out to you for really like taking that to heart and using that like envy, for a lack of better words, or using that like desire for your own community and putting that mm-hmm. in place. And like it is just so inspiring because you didn't come from a place where you had like so much, I guess, so many opportunities and doors already open for you that made it easy for you. It's not like Oromo wear was something that was like passed down to you, or that you had a lot of like other like businesses invest in, or like, you know, some type of thing to put you ahead of, you know, ahead of the game and make it easier for you. You really started from scratch like as a college student, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Going back to your comment of like just saying that the easy route, just saying you're Ethiopian. I would say in Toronto, like I said, especially in Toronto, like I mentioned, everybody asks where you're from because everybody's from somewhere in Toronto. And a lot of like Oromo kids, but I always try to make it a point to always like mention, hey, I'm Oromo and then Ethiopian, just to know, like, just to, and if they add that question and be like, hey, okay, what's Oromo? I'm like, oh, gladly, I'll explain it to you. And I wanted to push that agenda with Oromo wear. Like, I want them to be proud. Like, I don't want the impurity. Like, you know, our parents come from a place where they couldn't even say they were Oromo. We have so much freedom here in North America or the Western world where we can say wherever we're from. We shouldn't be hiding behind being intimidated of saying who we are. Not like just saying who we are. Like, it's nothing to be ashamed about. We are past that stage, I guess, especially now. And that's why I was like, hey, I want to feel that same pride as the Ethiopians.
Thank you so much, Shalami, for taking your time to do this, and, you know, for bearing with us with learning this whole system.
Thank you very much. And again, if you guys want to hit us up at Oromo wear on our Instagram or Facebook. If you guys also want to hit me up, Lummi Dot. And yeah, again, thank you, Obaliti, for having me speak a little bit about Oromo wear. I appreciate it. And thank you guys for tuning in. Appreciate it.
Our monthly podcast. If you're interested in learning more about this topic or are interested in leading a conversation, please contact us on our social media outlets. Our handles are at @opalaiti on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. You can also contact us via our email or our website, which is opalaiti.org. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you on our next podcast.